You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Now, I want to set the tone for you this morning. This morning, I'm going to come right at you. I've been away for 2 weeks. I was here last week, and Pastor Richard Parentree preached to our church. He's one of the overseers of our church. My wife preached. Let me just say this. I'm going to come back to you in a second, girlfriend. But my wife preached 2 weeks ago, and I was listening to her message. I didn't realize that she dragged me underneath the bus while she was preaching. Here's how she said it, ladies and gentlemen. She said, when Pastor Damon's here, y'all help him out. Since I'm up here, I want the same. And this is what she said. Because he goes, I wonder if they did it as well as I did it. And I was like, oh, no, she didn't. I've never said that. But since she said it, game on, sister. Game on. So here's what I need y'all to do. This is not in your notes. I need you to put her name with a box and then my name with a box. And then at the end, I'm going to mic drop, get out of here, and then y'all choose. Because I was living in the holy place. But she called me out. So this morning, I got 16 pages of notes. Because I'm bringing my A game today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bringing my A game today. Did you like how I said it? Today. Because that's how she was talking when she was preaching. So game on, sister. Game on. Nah. That's my wife. That's my forever girlfriend. We have fun. But I want to come right at you today because the Lord has been talking to our church about breaking barriers. And we've literally been walking through the vision of our church to where we don't want it to be cliche. We want it to be a life-giving church. We want it to be a movement towards more people coming into relationship with the Lord. And so, as again, if you are here for the very first time, it's our honor to have you this morning. It really is. And we pray that as you come through the door and you feel life, and if you came back, we welcome you again. We want it to feel like home. And in fact, Pastor Richard, he said, at our church, we do 3-week challenges. And I thought, that's a great idea. He said, we challenge people to come 3 weeks. See if our product was as good as it was the first time. See if we improved it over the next week. He said, because then you can decide if you feel like this place could be home. And I can honestly tell you that this place is a place where it doesn't depend on Ty and I. But if all of us tap into the things that God has called us to, we can really see heaven filled. So I just want you to know, we might be up here communicating most right now, but there's a place for you. There's a place for you, and we need you. And so welcome home this morning. But like I said, it's been a couple of weeks, and so I'm just going to come at you this morning. If you haven't missed, or if you missed the first two parts of our series, you can go find them on our iTunes. We have City Place Church audio podcast. I would listen to weeks 1, 2, and get caught up. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I got to do a little bit of work to lay the foundation. It'll all make sense, I promise. And you should have some sermon notes to help you follow along with today's message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 11 says this. It says, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Just pause right there. Everything around you belongs to God. Okay? I want to pause right there. Everything around you belongs to God. Your neighbor, your person, even you belong to God. All right? So what that is, that's a release of ownership, release of responsibility of me trying to figure it all out by myself and go, wait a second, if he's the owner, then he should have a plan. You with me? Let's keep going. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul's writing. Give you context, we're going to pray. Paul's writing. And there's this kind of schism going on between who gets the credit when people come into relationship with God. Paul says, it doesn't matter who gets the credit at the end of the day, as long as everyone is doing something so that Jesus can get the credit. Are you with me? I read all those verses to just tell you that. I know I could have told you that, right? Paul says, if you play a part, you play a part, Jesus gets the glory. But it all starts with him being the foundation of everything. Got that? Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you that we're in an atmosphere where you can change our life. God, I pray that we don't come in here for a motivational speech. We come in here because we want to be changed. And I pray, Lord God, that we will leave here differently than the way we came in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the barrier that we want to tackle is the barrier of the invite and the discipling. Inviting and discipling. If you have a blank there, you can write that in. If it's there, perfect. And here's the thought that as I read what Paul was talking about, there's this thought that came to me. If I don't, who will? Right underneath the barrier, you can write that. If I don't, who will? Paul's talking to a group of people and they're like, well, who gets the credit for this? You know, John got saved the other day, but you know, you weren't around. Somebody else was talking to him. And then Samantha, she's going to church now. Is that credited to you? Paul's like, I don't really care. But we have to have a mentality that if I don't talk to him, who will? If I give them the invite card and while they're at work, someone says, hey, do you know Jesus? And they meet Jesus and they show up to City Place on the weekend. It doesn't matter if City Place Church gets the credit. What matters is that God is glorified in the process. You with me? Okay, we'll make sure that we got that. So our thought has to be, if I don't, who will? Should I assume that they have everything that they need to have a relationship with God? Should I assume that it's all well and good in their life as I'm interacting with them? Should I? Or should I take the approach that if I don't invest in them, if I don't encourage them, if I don't make sure that they have a relationship with God, who will? Puts the onus all on me. It increases the value of everybody I come in contact with. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 says this, verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel in the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved and with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Then he goes into Matthew 10, and he says, and when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Verse 5. Then the 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What he was saying is go to your neighbor. Go to the person beside you. Don't be thinking all outside of the nation right now. Go to the person who's right beside you. Don't feel like just somebody in some other country needs to have a relationship when your neighbor doesn't know me yet. He says, you're overlooking sometimes because you see how I'm moving from city to city. Jesus says, now, as I empower you, the places that bother me the most are the ones that you are walking by every single day. He says, focus on them first. Win them first. Tell them that they can have a relationship with me first. And then he says, you might have to get their attention by dealing with their problem first. He says, they have an issue. Deal with that first. See that change first. And then let them know that the source of their change is me. You with me? Y'all all right? Flow with me. He says that everyone around you will have an issue. He says, deal with that first. Point them to me. Start in your neighborhood. Start in your office complex. Start with the people you coach. Start with the people in your school before you jump out and say, the nation of X needs my help. No, where you are right now is not the city where you live. It's the city where you're planted. The city where you live is not the city where you live. It's the city where you're planted and the place where you're called. Jesus says, don't overlook that. Go get them first. He says, everything that bothers me, I'm putting the burden on you. He says, if they are sick, pray for them. If they've lost their mind, pray that their mind comes back. Now watch what he finishes with. Watch, this is what I love. He says this, let me see, go back to the house of Israel. And he says, as you go preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He repeats it again. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. And watch what he says. He says, freely you have received, freely give. He said, I've done all this for you. Do it for somebody else. We said this several weeks ago. Free people, free people. But there are free people who are selfish people. And Jesus says, before you just take my power and you realize that you have miracle working power in you, don't you dare hold on to it just for you. Because I've done the tangible, but now I'm empowering you spiritually. Let it loose. In this room, there's all sorts of voltage. Let it loose. Freely you have received from Jesus. Why do we hold on to it? Why do we have the miracle working power of Jesus in our life? I'm getting a little amped just so y'all know. I can feel my help coming, pushing me on. So you can say amen. Or you can say ouch, either one. If we have the miracle working power of Jesus available at our disposal, if he's changed our life, why wouldn't we tell someone? All over social media, in my neighborhood, every time a new restaurant comes in, we have 1,000 comments about Culver's coming. Oh, they're the best burgers in America. We walked into the store, and by the way, we won 52 burgers for free. Boom. My wife ain't tell y'all that when she preached, did she? That's because I have it in my notes. Boom, 1-0. 1-0. But when we walked in, the store owner said this. He says, our burgers are the best. He said, we use organic farm-grown beef. We went to the test site and we saw the dairy being produced. And my wife and I, we looked and we said, this is the business we want to be in. They had the Chamber of Commerce come out to cut the cord, and we are standing in line for a burger we've never had, all because it was available for free. I never had it, but because 1,000 people commented, we were like, we better get our behinds up early. We better stand in this line, get this sunburn on my forehead for burgers we don't know we're going to get, but because someone said it was worth the effort to go. The burgers are $8 if you don't get them for free. But we stand in line. Why wouldn't we tell someone about a Jesus that they can't see, but you've experienced? The burgers, to be honest with you, the burgers are good. My arteries will have told me so. But why would we tell someone about an amusement park or about a concert or you got to hear this CD, but we never tell the lost person about a Jesus that will change their life? We will talk about Hillsong. Hillsong, my pastor came from Hillsong. So that's my jam, but we will pass it. Hey, you get the CD, you get the new CD, we'll get the new CD. Meanwhile, we walk in together talking about it and then the lost person, I'm like, what you talking about? And then we say stuff like, oh, you won't understand it. What are you talking about? They're going straight to hell. And we've got our spiritual fanny pack on. And we look good. Meanwhile, the enemy's going, check this one off the box. Got this one too. This one's headed to hell. Their whole family's jacked up and the Christians keep walking by. That's what I'm talking about. Meanwhile, all of heaven is like, I've given you power to pray for the sick, to mend families back. You've got power stored up in you. And you and I just comment about it on Facebook. Try the burgers. They taste good. You should try it. But we never actually go and tell someone, I'll take you. At what point will we say, if you don't, I will? To be honest with you, I'm an introvert. And Jesus doesn't care a thing about that. That's been my excuse.
I don't know if I could really like go up and invite them. What would they say? I don't really know. I'm out of my comfort zone. What should I do?
And Jesus is like, you over here saved, and someone walked over to your behind. They felt the same thing. Get over it and give them an opportunity to meet me. I'll handle the rest. It doesn't matter if you hand them the card or you share Jesus with them while you're talking. If everybody does a little something, I'll get the increase. Y'all all right? I'm just trying to lay a little foundation of the message. So here's what I realized when Jesus is talking to the disciples. He identifies three things that all of us need. And it's the only way that we'll carry the burden. We all need three things. And I'm sure we can find more. But here's the three things that I want to identify. All of us need three things, and here's the first thing. All of us need to be known. All of us need to be known. We may not need to be famous, but we need to be known. It is something on the inside of us that longs to be known, to have some form of a connection, for someone to care, for someone to lean in, for someone to take notice, for someone to be inquisitive, to someone to say, I got you on my mind. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I know every one of you, and I want you to be known by me. But I want you to know me as well. All of us have a need to be known by Jesus. Your neighbor has a need to be known by Jesus. That's the reason why we walk in circles sometimes. Jesus says, I was walking around and I couldn't get to everybody. And when I saw them, they were just scattered, not knowing what they needed. And he called them sheep. He said they were like sheep with no one to know them, with no one to take the time to say, let me bring you into a place of safety. All of us have a desire and a need to be known. So does your neighbor. So does your friend. So does your coworker. It is a desire and a must that needs to be fulfilled. Here's a success point, though, for that. In order to be known, we have to be vulnerable. And this is normally the place that's hard for us. It's the place where it's hard to connect with someone else because I don't know you yet. I don't know you yet. Even some of us in here today, we have a relationship with Jesus, but we really don't know him because we don't trust him with the secret places. We carry things and we say this. We say stuff like this. When I get this worked out, I will. You can't do a thing. And Jesus is going, I don't really care if you feel like you can work it out. Why don't you give me an opportunity to know you? Because if you know me, then you hear my voice and you know that I won't leave you by yourself. Then he says, if you know me and you get close to me, you'll realize that I have people around you who have been empowered to speak life into you. He did it for the disciples. Cast out the devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. There are people around us that God has called in our circle to speak life to the broken place. But until we allow ourselves to be known by Jesus and to know him, we are scattered. The reason why you have those invite cards on your seat and the reason why we will pull Orlando out of the top 10 is because there are people who need to be known by Jesus and need to know you. Let me know y'all all right. If it's too hard, blame Jesus. Or blame my wife because she set the challenge. 2-0, girlfriend. Here's the second thing we all need. We need to be loved. We need to be known, but we need to be loved. Somewhere, I feel like, I can't think of one, but I feel like there's an R&B slow jam somewhere in the back of my mind. But I just can't. My wife said, leave it there. That's what she said. Ah, that was not funny, girlfriend. Not funny. We all need to be loved. Here's what Matthew chapter 22 says. And Jesus said to him, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. The foundation, back to Paul, the foundation of everything is God. You love him first. Don't hold anything back. You love him with all of your heart, you love him with all of your soul, and you love him with all of your mind. Don't you dare hold back anything. You need to be known. Make yourself vulnerable. Give everything over to him. That's what Jesus is saying. Heart, soul, mind, that's everything. You let that go, oh my goodness, you can play with my emotions. I don't know. If you love the Lord with everything, you say, God, I want to know you completely. It's the place of intimacy between a husband and a wife when they can see the places that only you're allowed to see as a spouse. That's what Jesus says. Love God in every way. But then he says this. He says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's scary because my response to my neighbor could say, how I feel about me. I know that's crazy to grasp. Like, I'm not trying to bend something into scripture, but I wonder if my response towards everybody is really a reflection of how I feel. Have you ever thought about that? Like the anger that I have, am I really angry at me? The void that I give to someone else, am I really not allowing it in me? Jesus says the way you love yourself, love your neighbor. But he starts off with saying you should love God with everything you got first. What he was saying is the foundation for the love that you're going to give to somebody else has to be based on the love you give God. Stop there. 1 John 3 says this in verse 1 and then bounce down to 16. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. By this we know, verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought also lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. If God's love is flowing out through you, you want to make sure that the person around you has a relationship with God. If you're living and you're moving up, and God is blessing you, and you acknowledge that everything that I have is coming from God, there's no way that I'm just going to live the roller coaster ride to the Jefferson's Deluxe apartment and not look back and go, if God did it for me, I've got to find a way for God to do it to you. I don't have to give you all my resources, but I can give you all the wisdom and let you know that it was God, and if it hadn't been for him, and this is what I did, I gave myself over to him, and this is the result of my trusting him and believing in him. And it's available to you. Here's a little note. Love is fulfilled. It's a blank on your sheet. Love is fulfilled when we receive the Father's unconditional love. Love is fulfilled when we receive the Father's unconditional love. I thought about this thought. The Father's love is not dependent on my love for him. His love for me was already proven through Jesus. So whether I love him or not, he loves me. He already proved it because he gave his son Jesus. There's nothing I can do to earn his love. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. You've already got it. You have everything. You have his very best. That's what 1 John said. He loved you so much that he said, Jesus, come here, man. I need you to do something that's drastic because I want to get their attention. I want them to have an expression of love that they can't measure. So that when they feel like they can, I've got to prove myself, I want you to set the bar so high that they'll know that I'll do whatever it takes to let them know that my love is unconditional. The Father's love fulfills the love that we need. Are you here? Here's the last one. I sat some verses over there so that you can see how much the love of God really is available to us. Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. You can read those verses on your own. They're there for you as a study tool. Here's the third thing. We have to, one, be known. We need to be loved. And the third thing is that we have to be challenged. This is the part right here that sometimes is the hardest. Known, got it. Loved, yes. We have to be challenged. Jesus says they're sheep. They're walking around. They're scattered, and it's breaking my heart. I'm not a sheep, never been a sheep, but I have seen the pictures that when they go to get the sheep to pull them into the place of safety, the sheep is not like, I'm coming, we got this. The sheep is being pulled from the place where they were into a place of safety, but sometimes it's a challenge. There's a little bit of a tug. There's a little bit of a fight. And all the shepherd is saying is, I'm trying to bring you into safety. I'm trying to bring you into my love. I'm trying to bring you into my relationship. And so he's just pulling the sheep back in. So the scattered aren't going to come with ease when Jesus is saying, my heart's moving with compassion because they're like sheep without a shepherd. He didn't make it seem like as soon as you go talk to him, it's going to be easy. He makes it clear that you will have to clean. You will have to heal, you will have to raise in order to get their attention so that they can start a relationship with me. It's going to take a little challenge to get them into relationship with me. So we have to be challenged. Here's what Hebrews 12 says, or Hebrews 3 says this. It says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every single day while it is still day, so that none of you will be deceived by sin or hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God firmly, as we have first believed, we will share in all the things that belong to God. He says, listen, if you're out there by yourself and you don't allow yourself to be known, you don't allow yourself to be loved, your heart can be hardened. And then you'll forget about the first time you said yes to Jesus. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've been hard-hearted toward God. Like, I don't need you right now. I'm frustrated with you. You done made me mad. Anybody ever been there? Where like, you okay if you don't talk to God for a while? The author says this. He says, hey, be careful that that doesn't become your normal. Be careful that you don't let that be the place where you create distance between a father that loves you unconditionally. Be careful that you're not the cause of the separation when he wants to know you, he wants to love you, but he has to challenge you. And it says this, it says, you encourage and you warn each other. Because sometimes the behavior that we have, sometimes the choices that we make, not right. All of us have to be challenged. Here's what I wrote down. When I am challenged, you can take note. When I am challenged, I am being encouraged beyond my current comfort level. See, my wife, she's very honest with me. And there's some things that she might challenge me on that I don't like. But really what she's challenging me on is that, Damon, you have sat in a seat where you've become comfortable. And that doesn't push our dreams, our family, whatever it is, the context, forward. And sometimes it sounds a little rough. Sometimes it sounds like, hey, guys, you've got to go after God more. Give him more praise. He's worthy of it. It sounds like, okay, I can do that. Or sometimes it's like, hey, the choices that you're making, we need to think about that. Spiritual discomfort is not a negative thing. Being challenged spiritually is not a negative thing. It's a sign of maybe I'm comfortable in my attitude. Maybe I'm comfortable in my behavior. Maybe I'm comfortable in my relationship with God. Maybe I'm comfortable in my choices. Maybe I'm not dreaming at the level that I'm supposed to be dreaming. Maybe I'm in neutral. Spiritual discomfort is not a sign of something being wrong. So here's the final two things. Worship, you can come up. Worship team, piano, whoever. If we can grasp the facts that we need these three things, there's three results, and it's on your notes. I'm just going to go through them fast. If I realize personally that I need to be known, I need to be loved, and I need to be challenged in every aspect of my life, here's the result. I can be pastored. I can be pastored. I can let someone shepherd me. I can not just be out there walking around. The word shepherd in the Bible means pastored. The word pastor means shepherd. That means that I can be pulled back into a relationship where I'm focused back again on the Lord. Come on, he wants to know you. He wants to love you. He's going to challenge you. If I grasp hold of that, this is what's working in me, I can be pastored. Second thing is I can follow. I can follow him as he's leading me. I can follow him as he's wanting me to grow deeper. I can follow him as he's instructing me. So I can be pastored. Encourage me. Challenge me. Love me, please. Know me, please. I can be pastored. I can follow. And then the last thing is I can disciple. So if I realize that Jesus wants to know me, he wants to love me, and that I have to be challenged, then when I come into God's house, I realize that it's a safe place. I can be pastored because I don't want to just be walking out when that breaks Jesus's heart. I can follow the presence of the Lord because my pastor should be focusing back on me, back on Jesus wanting to know me, Jesus wanting to love me, Jesus challenging me. And then I can realize that my neighbor, the person beside me, needs to be known, needs to be loved, and needs to be challenged. Here's the other thing, and I skipped over the box in different order. I can imagine salvation. I can imagine salvation for. So in your notes, I'm going to give you a few minutes. And here's what I want you to do. In your notes, you can see it. It says, I can imagine salvation for myself. It's in your notes. I can imagine salvation for myself. And then there's a blank there that says, my friend. I want you to write a friend that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Salvation is available to me because I need to be known, I need to be loved, and I need to be challenged. So I can imagine salvation being available to me. I can also imagine salvation for my friend. Who's your friend? Write their name down. I can imagine salvation for my boss. If you're the owner of your company, you've got an employee. Who can you see salvation going to? And then last thing, I can imagine salvation for my family member. Which one? Write their name down. There are three people that you can invite to church this Easter. They need to be known, they need to be loved, and they need to be challenged. hey, if I grasp the fact that God is doing this in me, he doesn't want me out there by myself. He wants me in a relationship with him. I can be pastored. I can follow. I can disciple. And I can imagine salvation for me, my friend. For me, it's my friend Matt, my boss, my family member. I've got many. They need the same relationship with Jesus. So you have homework. Next week, we'll go a little bit deeper. You have homework this week. Invite someone to be known, to be loved, and to be challenged by God.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.